the sermon text from today's epistle reading. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you. Thus far the words of our text. He is risen! Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We have come to the end of our Lenten travels. On Good Friday, we walked with Joseph and with Nicodemus to the tomb of Jesus. And now this morning, we stand before that very same tomb with Mary Magdalene and the other faithful women who came to anoint Jesus' body. And lo and behold, the stone is gone. And the body of Jesus is no longer there. There is no Jesus, but Jesus is there. And he speaks to Mary. And he sends her to tell where Jesus will meet his disciples. The empty tomb is the point of Jesus' preaching and of his teaching. What does the empty tomb mean? It means that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the sin of the world is not only complete, but it is also accepted by God the Father. Sin is taken away. The guilt of sin is taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if there is no sin, then there is no death. And the only thing that is left over is life everlasting. St. Paul is very clear that Christ's ministry, his death and his resurrection, accomplished everything for our salvation. Now, having said that it's all complete, it is all done, let us not fool ourselves that our faith is not under assault these days. Of course the faith is under assault these days. Yet we are being preserved in the faith as Jesus Christ preserves us, and as God the Father brings us closer to the day of resurrection, when our Christian hope will be fully realized. Now, when I say our faith is under assault, now, I mean in this sense, I do mean our personal faith. Now, you can understand faith in another sense. Faith is meaning as Christianity as a whole, as in the Christian faith. And that is definitely under assault. The truth of Scripture, what Scripture teaches of creation, of the fall, of redemption, of crucifixion, of resurrection and repentance and the remission of sins, is always under attack. It is always under assault. There is also faith in the sense of for me. Is in a personal faith, a faith that is yours, a faith that trusts that what Jesus did is for you as an individual and you personally. That in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection and his life and his coming alive again, you personally have the salvation of your soul and you have the promise of the resurrection of your own flesh on the last day. This is applied to you. And this is also constantly under assault. The spiritual forces in the heavenly realms do not want you to trust the gospel. They do not want you to trust the work of Jesus on your behalf. They want you to think, how can a work done over 2,000 years ago still be effective for me today? What we proclaim here this morning is that, yes, Christ's death and his resurrection are indeed effective for you this very day. We want to lay hold of the implications of the good news for each and every one of us. The good news of Jesus Christ for the Christian confidence in the resurrection of the dead and of life eternal for you right now. Right now. The church calendar has most recently walked us through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus placed in front and center of us with the basics of our creedal faith. He died. He was buried. He has risen again from the dead. As St. Paul writes to the Romans, but God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, how much more will we be saved from him by the wrath of, from the wrath of God? For if while we were still enemies, and we were then reconciled to God through Christ Jesus by the death of his Son, how much more then are we reconciled to God shall we be saved by his life? More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. The death of Jesus is central to the drama of our salvation. The word of the cross is the power of God, without which we would still be in our sins. As Jesus told the Pharisees, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Christ really did die to pay for your sins. And all the gospel writers report the validity of Jesus' death on the cross. He was a dead person. He was a buried person. And now comes the crescendo. He has risen from the dead. By the glory of God the Father, Jesus continues as the risen and living one, now and forever. And what do? We now turn to our baptisms. We turn and look at our baptism. We prize our baptism. For do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death and his resurrection? For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. And that means we are baptized into Christ's death and Christ's resurrection. We were buried with Christ by baptism into death, that we might live in newness of life, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly... What a great word that is. Certainly. We shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be a slave to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we also believe that we will live with him. And we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has any dominion over him. For the death he died to sin. Once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to life with God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Also, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Jesus from the dead. Here are the foundational facts of the Christian faith, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died for the taking away of our sin. He was buried. He was raised again for our justification. And in Christ's resurrection lies the promise of your own resurrection. This week in our local Lutheran churches, our Missouri Synod churches, just this past week there have been funerals in Morton, funerals in Mount Pulaski, funerals in San Jose. Death takes no holiday. But today's holy day, the feast of the resurrection of our Lord, tells us that death is overcome and Christ secures resurrection for all of us. So this day we see in the resurrection of Jesus Christ your own, your very own resurrection from the dead. We aren't here for tradition. We aren't here because it's just what we always do. We are not here because Grandma said we needed to be here. We are here to be reminded that Christian people have the assurance and the promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We are here to witness once again the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to be assured that because we are connected to Jesus, because in Jesus our sins are forgiven, We have eternal life. And not just life in heaven, but we have the promise of the resurrection of our bodies to immortality. That in Christ, we shall live in the new heavens and in the new earth. And we shall live in everlasting glory, blessedness, and righteousness. This is the Christian faith. This is what we look forward to. This is the promise of your baptism and the promise of Jesus Christ for you, Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, Christ forever, Christ for immortality, Christ for resurrection. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds to the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.